is how it treats its women and girls. The smart, powerful, creative, accomplished young women.
We can fight.
I'm here because of you. I'm here because girls like you inspire me. Many of these girls have faced unthinkable obstacles just to attend.
Good morning. You're listening to Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa. I'm in the studio with Donna.
What's up?
And Liz on the phone. Liz, can you hear us?
Yes. And it sounds like things are rough so far in the studio.
Sticky fingers. Things are just as they're supposed to be.
Okay, Marion Williamson. So, here we are, together again.
So, I want to drop a note about, our last show was about Gasparilla and the history of discrimination associated with some of the crews. And we had a caller last week named DJ, and then I spoke with him after the show, and he's like, yeah, you got to go and tell me all the stories and tell me your observations now that we've had this discussion. And so I'm like, yeah, okay. And oh my gosh, I woke up that morning and it was so cold and I was already fighting a respiratory infection. So DJ, I'm sorry I didn't make it to the parade. I will try to get to the night parade because they got the same crews going there. So
wait, when is that, Liz?
That is February 8th.
Okay.
Have you ever been to the night parade?
Yes, I've picked up my drunk friends.
You know, I feel better about going to the night parade.
Must be February 12th because that's the Saturday. Yeah, so that's when it is.
I feel better about going to the night parade because no one will see me. And also,
I got so many pirate costumes you can borrow, Donna. It's not even funny.
I'm going, and if I wear a mask and sunglasses, right, I will be an anonymous drunk person. Yes. And so I didn't go because I couldn't sort out heads or tails. Like, is this thing integrated? Isn't it? Do you want to integrate it this year? No, I don't. Because you know what? I'm having a period in my life where I just want to be happy, not bitter, not upset with everything, angry about everything, finding fault in every celebrity's words, you know, taking delight that people are being fired for being ignorant. I need a break from that. I need a break from it. So everybody can do whatever they want, and Donna won't say anything. All right? All right? I mean, even if you're harming other people, I'm going to be quiet because there are other people who can speak up. I just need a break. So I will go to the night parade if I am in town. I am on two projects right now that could just snatch me away at any moment. But I have a plan to go to the night parade because I've sorted out my problems. But I do have stories about driving Lyft. I decided to become a Lyft driver.
For Gasparilla.
For Gasparilla, yes, because I'm nosy.
You know what? That's a whole adventure. We should do it.
It was an adventure. I dressed like a pirate, and I hung beads on my seat, and I told pirate stories. And I played the Pirates of the Caribbean theme in the car, so it was all like dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
And dun. You performed a public service.
And I performed a public service, because you're not supposed to drive drunk people, but the people who were drunk need the ride the most. Right?
Yeah.
Like, we don't want them to get hurt, and we don't want them to get drive. And so I drove a lot of racist pirates, and they said racist things. They did. But like I said, I'm not in the mood to be angry. So I just drove the people home. Hopefully they find some, you know, redemption in their conditions.
Give us some examples of the things these racist pirates.
I'm always good story. Then it's like, plot twist, there's racist.
Yes, 2-point, shocker in Florida, right? 2.6 mile route. This guy and his friend actually had things to say. No, the friend was telling him, listen, my black friends tell me that you can't say that stuff. He was trying to stop his friend from just saying all this stuff. He's talking about fat people, gay people. Black people was only one.
Wow.
And then he said, I can't be racist because I, a Jamaican girl, she was half Jamaican. But then I dated a girl who was all the way black, so I can't be racist. I mean, he was just going on and on and on. I am flying. I have, I drive a foreign car that has a spoiler on it, and I need new struts. And so I have to be careful over speed bumps. Let me tell you something. Every pothole in downtown Tampa, I hit that pothole. I was going to tear that thing off the axle trying to get this guy to his destination to get the blank out of my car because he was at the Hyatt. So when I finally stopped him, I guess like something's working in his psyche, even though he's drunk, right? And so he knows that he's done a bad thing. Because even when people are drunk, they maintain that like deepest voice in their psyche. So he's holding my door. Now, I just want to drive off and have with the door open. Okay, I'm going to turn my car into a Jeep. I want to drive off, but I don't drive off because he's holding my door. And he's just like, I wasn't offensive, was I? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah. He says, but there goes my 5-star rating. And I said, well, you know, you picked a fine time to worry about your rating.
Yeah.
Right? You really need to get some therapy. Right? I told him he needs to get some therapy. I said, I'm going to let you keep your rating. I'm going to let you live. But you need to get help. Guess what he does for a living? And he said, you know, I've been thinking about that. So then he was all, you know, repentant.
I'm afraid to guess.
Yeah.
Because I think I know the answer.
No, he isn't in healthcare because that's the worst place. And teaching is the worst place for people like that. In the caring professions, it's the worst place for people with all those deep biases to end up. He's a pilot.
Oh, for God.
Yeah, he flies mostly wealthy people out of Atlanta, which has probably only served to deepen his biases. Right? Because he's around people that don't have to have their biases examined all the time. Right?
So he flies like the charter jet?
Mostly he said it was not Atlanta. It was around the small airports around D.C. I'm sure there are lots of people going in and out of D.C. that have private planes. A lot of these elected officials are very wealthy. We forget that sometimes. We're dealing with people who are like a lot very wealthy. And so that's some of the disconnect between Americans, but that's another subject for another day. So that's what this guy did. He was a pilot. And the conversation actually began like this. The guy that was in the car with him says, you know what he does for a living? It came up in the casual conversation. And he says, I'm a pilot. And I said, really? I said, I fly a lot for work. Of course, they don't believe me because I'm black and I cannot possibly have any business about myself. And so he says, well, do you know, he starts naming these airports around D.C.
Oh, yeah.
No. And he's like, yeah, you don't know any of these airports. And I was subject to that type of derision, mindless derision, right, the entire time I was driving. Now, let me tell you about, so this guy said that he's been thinking about getting therapy. So let's cross our fingers
They're
for this.
Always thinking about it. And then they go start a podcast.
Especially men. Right. Okay. Don't at me, guys. Especially men are always, my son, my ex-husband, everybody always thinking about it, never quite making it to the doctor's office. My son doesn't even have a copay. So anyway, subject. Because people want health care and we keep talking about there not being health care for mental illness. And this kid doesn't even have a copay. So anyway, rich pirate, I pick up off Gandy Boulevard, okay? Mm-hmm. I pick him up at the country club down there. Like he has his little subdivision has a country club. I go in, there's the obligatory black girl with the giant lashes and blonde wig at the stop-in center, who's very super nice, okay? Mm-hmm. And I pass this guy who's putting cannons. He's checking on his cannons in his yard. He's got like this Disney World level display in his front yard of like Pirates of the Caribbean Disney ride, right? Like he probably stole them from like the Pirates of the Caribbean ride in Disney. And he's checking on his cannons. And I'm like, okay, I know what type of scene this is. So everywhere there's like these Jolly Roger flags are flying in this area. So I drive in to pick up this guy. And he's standing there in full pirate regalia. This costume was worthy of a movie set. Okay. And it was black and blue. And he had a cup in his hand. So I was like, gosh, I hope he's not too drunk. Right. He gets in my car and he starts talking about health being your only wealth. And he's guzzling down this caustic beverage. But I digress because I drink too, so I'm not shading alcoholics because I can't. So anyway, he is talking about red light therapy. Dr. Roche, who is his naturopath / cardiologist, and how he gets red light therapy. And I said, you know what? I do too.
Is that EDMR?
No, that's the flashing lights that's supposed to heal trauma.
Yeah.
Okay. No, this is red light therapy.
Don't ask why I know that.
Don't ask why I know that. Speaking of mental health.
Okay. And trauma.
Right.
Donna has been in spas all over Tampa since we got back from New Orleans.
Yes, because I had to get fluids and I had to get red light therapy and I had to get cryotherapy. And so I've been going to this one down in Carrollwood. Well, anyway, I said, me too. I've been getting red light therapy every day because I have an unlimited package. Well, listen, he was staring. I could feel him staring at the back of my head like, really? Why are you lying like that? You know, because there's this disbelief that there's this major distance between how they live and what they value and how people who aren't like them live and what they value.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like when people think someone speaks another language or doesn't speak English well, that they're automatically uneducated and ignorant. It was that type of energy, right?
Yeah.
And so he says, really, where do you go? Because, you know, ask the next question to really interrogate if someone is telling the truth. And I told him I go to Restore in Carrollwood. And he was like, well, I get it at my doctor's office. And then he's like, trying to one up me. And I'm like, dude, when I pulled into the area where I was dropping him, there are limos with drivers in them waiting outside because the help has to wait outside. Of course, you can't even get a snack from these illustrious, you know, luxurious parties. And they're like these cars that you don't see on the road.
Did you ask where his limo was?
I didn't. But he said, I don't drink and drive. And there was that. Afterwards, I thought about it. He was thinking she is probably judging me because of where she's picking me up.
Oh,
literally, I don't care. So he said, he announced when he got in the car, I don't drink and drive. And I was like, well, that's a good thing because a DUI is like $12,000. And I don't think he liked that because he was like, his energy was like, I got $12,000.
That is not why I do it.
Right. It's like, yeah, because I don't want to hurt someone. So he goes into the deeper explanation. So when I go in to drop him off and he's like, you know, I always tip and blah, blah, blah. He did not tip me. The rich pirate did not tip me. And his haircut was $250. I hang out with a lot of rich people. It's my misfortune to do so because of the nature of my work. And I know an expensive haircut or a $20,000 overcoat when I see one. You know, I saw Barbara Walters in front of the Whole Foods in New York, and she was wearing a coat that probably cost a year's worth of mortgage payments for a nice house. But she was nice, though.
So
I'm not going to do a monologue here, but that is two of my pirate stories. What do y'all think about that?
So all right, we will go to the night parade. Amina, you want to come with us?
Maybe.
Just say it, Mina. Just say it. Just come. We're not going to. Yeah.
I will go.
And if anybody has access to one of the balconies on 7th Street and Ybor, please let us know. And we can do a remote broadcast from your site. And we can give like details about, you know, oh, here's this float. Yeah, they don't have any black people on it. Okay. Here's the next float. Okay, let's see how many people they have on that one. Let's see what the ratio is. So
let me ask you a question. Who has that balcony that where Hamburger Mary's used to be?
That's part of the Central Evil Complex, right?
Yeah. Those people are really harsh. They're not nice people.
Mm-hmm. I wish they had Hamburger Mary's back. That would be not awesome. But yeah, so if any of our listeners are interested in having three surly women come and grace your Ybor balcony, please let us know, and we will make an event of it.
We have a couple of messages. One is from David. He says, wow, you are brave to drive Lyft. I'd be worried about some chunky vomit action. Stinky, I tell you. And then Bubba says, it would be interesting to record Gasparilla passengers, real drunk Lyft passengers of Tampa, coming soon on Bravo Network.
That's a great idea.
You know,
We need to get a line in to Andy Cohen for real, because we always have so many good ideas about reality shows, and we need to be able to pitch them to him.
Do y'all really want to be on a reality show about Gasparilla? It could ruin us.
I don't.
it's like I said when we were in New Orleans. It's like, next time we're going to come out with GoPros on, because nobody would ever believe this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, that would be the real Tampa, because the Selling Tampa actually was more about the St. Pete beaches, the Pinellas beaches, yeah. Right? They're, those luxurious estates are waterfront properties. They're not in Tampa. The closest we come to that is Bayshore over here.
Right.
But this would be about Tampa. This would be like Tampa Street, Kennedy Boulevard, Swan.
Why are you naming all the boring street?
I was picking up people over off Swan. Swan was lit.
That's where Soho is. Okay.
Oh, it was lit, honey. I mean, people were literally rolling around in the middle of the street over there. That's like after the party. You're talking about like 2:00 in the afternoon, where everyone is saturated with the liquor.
Wow.
Yeah, and they were just
right in the main part of the action.
Oh, I didn't tell y'all about naked pirates outside Hat Tricks.
Oh, I saw you post something about that.
Just shoes and a solo cup.
Really? Like nothing?
Nothing. There were no clothes nearby.
Like not even a leaf or something?
There wasn't a jacket in their hand. There wasn't a loincloth. There was nothing. There was their born glory.
And Donna posted about it. You know, she described the scene and everything, and I responded, and I'm like, I have an alibi, ma'am.
Yeah, and I'm like, I can't drive and like be taking pictures with people in the car, right? But
right.
I was like, y'all not gonna shut my Facebook page down, put me in Facebook jail for posting the debauchery of Gasparilla.
If anybody wants to give us a call and talk about their observations of the Gasparilla festivities, give us a call at 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org.
Speaking of email, we have a message from Doug in Clearwater. He said, I don't have an Ybor balcony, but you sound like it would be interesting to go to New York Pizza with an Ybor.
New York Pizza is kind of nasty.
I've never been to New York Pizza in Ybor.
Blasphemy.
It is. You like New York Pizza?
No, but that's funny that you say that, because I'm scared to say I don't like it. Everyone's like, what's wrong with you? And then they open up this like cardboard with grease on it, and I'm just like, where's the...
It's not good. It's like Chicago pizza. I'm going to say it right now. Y'all can at me. I don't care. Chicago deep dish pizza. Most of those places, especially the tourist traps downtown, even in the Gold Coast, I'm just going to say it. They use a lot of cheap, salty ingredients, and the crust is like bricks.
The crust is bricks.
And I'm still upset because I am gluten-free, and so I ate gluten for no reason. I suffered for nothing.
Oh, no. I actually really like Chicago deep dish pizza, but I had it from like, you know, the classic place where it started, something like that. I don't remember the name, but I liked it a lot. And
I wish you knew the name so I can go back and try the real one.
I don't remember it. I will though.
Yeah. Shit. What else we got?
There used to be like a Godfather's pizza chain, and they purported to be Chicago pizza, but I don't know if it was.
You know, the other thing is drunk people leaving phones in the car. Okay. Now, this is not like my real job. Okay. This is me being nosy. And although I would say it's a perfectly honest way to make a living. Okay. A lot of people do. So I'm not shading that. I just do something else, and I wanted to see what this was about. Now, I was going to tell y'all about, people leaving phones in the car. Okay. So the people I'd tell people, do you have your phone? Because I knew, like, one, the person that wasn't drunk would have their phone. And the person who was drunk would fall asleep in the car, and that phone is in their hand. They let it go. It goes under the seat.
Okay.
So St. Pete Beach, imagine this. You know how far that is?
From
Tampa, from West Tampa, where I live?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I say, you guys got your phones? Yeah, we got our phones. Okay. So they get out of the car, and the guy says, we're here, honey, number three. And I just happened to record that, right? That apartment number. Because I heard him say it. And she was like, okay. Yeah. And she's like stumbling out of the car. So I said, all right, we got you guys there. You're safe, right? Get some rest. Tomorrow's going to be rough. So they paddle into their house. And I'm driving around. I pick up this chick named Elegance from a Quality Inn. She's going to get some Black and Miles at a local nearby bodega. I hate when they add stops because I just don't want to. I just wasted my time. And so Elegance goes in there, and she comes out. And she says, do you hear that? I'm like, I don't hear anything. Okay, so it's this girl's car. It's her phone under the seat. Okay? So Elegance finds her phone. And I'm torn on whether to drive the 6.7 miles back to their apartment. Because, you know, they don't give you the address. So I would have had to commit that route to memory and drive back. Well, yeah. I decided that I did not want these people blowing up my phone when they rose from their drunken slumber. So I pulled from my middle-aged brain, and I drove back, and I put it in that mailbox number three. And they had their phone when they woke up, and they gave me like a superstar above and beyond rating and like a $25 tip. And Lyft gives you $15 for taking it back as well. So it was a $40 lick for nothing. But Lyft doesn't pay very well. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to drive these things, you probably want to drive Uber because they pay about twice as much as Lyft.
Wow.
The average trip in a downtown Tampa, even during a Lightning game, is like $3. Nobody knew that, right?
Yeah. Gosh. Well, they charge more for Uber, too, I think.
They do. But a lot of that ends up back in the hands of the driver, and the app is much easier to navigate. Now, the for Lyft... They will pay more promotions like surges, but their rates are very flat, and it doesn't I don't think that, I mean, I drive a Mercedes-Benz, a late model Mercedes-Benz. I don't think that it covers the wear and tear on your vehicle. And I don't get the black prices because it's not the right class that's loaded.
You were hauling the drunk pirates around in your Mercedes?
Yeah, I should have drove them in the Hyundai. They deserve the Hyundai.
God, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the struts are better on the Hyundai.
Let's switch gears.
Yeah.
Let's talk about February is Black History Month.
Okay.
And so we're celebrating notable folks in the Black community, and that brings up, apparently, just coincidentally, Justice Breyer decides he's going to retire. And Biden, during his campaign speeches, had promised to nominate the first Black woman to the Supreme Court. And Ted Cruz became apoplectic at that.
And shocker.
Like, yeah. Well, number one, do we really think that McConnell and his ilk will allow any nomination from Biden to get through? And so what Ted Cruz brings up is he says that Biden's commitment to nominate the first Black woman to the Supreme Court is offensive, and he's telling other Americans that they're ineligible. And so it blew my mind. It's like, why does Ted Cruz feel like he has to weigh in on this, except to dog whistle, you know, his base? So anyway, they are considering some extremely well-qualified candidates. But the whole, you know, why does Ted Cruz and folks like him, why do they feel the need to even make a comment before anybody's even been nominated.
Well, you know what I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that too, yeah.
Right. I had a friend the other day that said she loved Joe Rogan. And I said, et tu, Brute? Right? And she said, well, why? You think that, I said, you just seem so educated and sophisticated and enlightened. I never would have thunk. And she's like, I don't know what you're communicating to me here, Donna. And I was like, and I posted the video that India Irie posted where he was saying the N-word like 4,000 times and talking about rolling into a black neighborhood unbeknownst and saying they had entered Planet of the Apes. This is enough, right? You can leave for the COVID reasons, but these are my reasons. And she posted the clips and I posted them to Sharon's page, radio silence.
Wow.
Dang.
There are a lot more people that are committed to racism on the left than you might think.
Oh yeah.
I don't get it.
Because I feel like, or what I've witnessed is like, if it's not your mainstream brand of racism, then they're offended that, you know, you would even group them into that, but it's a spectrum and there's a lot of biases. Like people who, even I, like biases that I grew up with in my family that, you know, I think the first step is like recognizing they're there and then processing them in a more healthy way. But it's been unreal how common that is. And then with everything that's, we talk about the SCOTUS appointment and all these other things in politics and, you know, there's a potential war in Eastern Europe again, and it's just like, we're just out here paying bills for what? Earth is on fire. You know, there's so much burnout right now. And it reminds me of, did you guys see the news of the Instagram model and sports newscaster who jumped off the
horrible.
Who jumped off the skyscraper? She was only 30.
Yeah.
Her name is Chelsea Christ.
She was Miss USA
2019.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even, you know, before that news broke, I didn't know who she was. And then afterwards, I was really affected by it. And I couldn't tell you why. It was just like heavy to read that news.
You know, I couldn't figure out, conversely, why people were so deeply affected by it. A human being commits suicide. But because she's beautiful and accomplished, people were wrecked by it. And I was just like, wow, that's amazing. Like, we're so struck by people's qualities that are unrelated to the value of their basic humanity that people literally, like, latched onto that as if it were a unique or special event. And they were talking about the beauty industry and growing old. This girl was turning 30.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, she just finished the last phase of development 4 years ago.
I think that was it for me, just the age proximity. But when you go, like, I went on her Instagram and I think this might be a part of it. Mm-hmm. It's like the happiest pictures. Like, you would think she's like living large, always happy. Everything just looks perfect.
She was quite lovely.
Yeah.
And extremely accomplished. She's a lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything just looks perfect off the posts and she looks joyful. And I think people realizing that like social media really doesn't reflect what's going on. And the thing is, like, we all do it.
Right. And so many people, are just out there, you know, painting this glorious picture of their fabulous lives. And it's not anything close to what they're experiencing on the inside.
Right.
Yeah. Let me get back to Ted Cruz and his apoplexy.
Yeah, how do we get out there?
I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, it works, though.
So part of his argument is, you know, black women are such a small part of the U.S. population, and she's putting her or a black woman on the court would not be representative of society. And so my first thought was, what, nine white men for the longest was representative of society? Come on. So all I have to say about Ted Cruz and folks who believe the way he does is, number one, as a woman in a male-dominated field, which the law is, it may be evening out now, but you still, you know, see the vestiges of it. For a woman to succeed to that level, she's got to perform at least 2 to 3 times what a white male will do. For a black woman to reach that level, she has to outwork anybody 4 to 5 times as much. And so it's, you know, the people that they're considering, one that's like a front runner is Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. She's Harvard grad, super, super credentialed. She's been on the federal benches for a while. And, you know, for him to, you know, take this low road argument just appalls me, so...
Mm-hmm. So many challenges, so little time.
We have Fran from Largo calling in. Let me see.
Oh, yay, Fran calls in.
Hi, Fran. Can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, good morning.
Oh, okay. I was just calling about, the lady, I'm sorry, I can't remember your name, but you were talking about driving all those times around with gas.
Donna.
Yes, I can really relate to what she said about a lot of things in a way. I've never been to Gasparilla. I've lived here since 1961. I've never been to Gasparilla. It's not about Gasparilla.
I don't feel bad.
Pardon me?
I said, Fran, I don't feel bad. I've never been either, and I felt so much FOMO.
I've never been, and yeah, her mother might have been around in 1961, but she certainly wasn't.
Sorry, Fran, you were saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But the way people treat other people when they think they have more money or higher up than them. I've been a cleaning lady since the 1980s, and I have been treated miserably by some people. There were some nice ones, and they really stand out. But it's just in our society, just in all societies, It's a thing about people have to be kicking the people that they think are beneath them. You know, it's like they talk about assimilation when people migrated to this country, and say the Irish. They talked about them. They said the Irish were a different race. The people that were here already, they were afraid of losing their jobs and everything. Okay, the Irish assimilate, and boy, there's nothing worse than some of these Irish, the way they treat other people. It's like there's always somebody down beneath you, and you have the right to demonize them, kick them around. What is it in human nature? That's what I'm getting at. What is it in human nature that makes people do this? Is it greed motivated? Maybe. I think that's got a lot to do with it. I'm just putting this out there. If you want to talk about this, fine. Okay. One more thing. Did anybody watch Jimmy Kimmel last night?
No.
Naked Donald Trump on.
That's not something I don't want to see.
I'm glad I missed it.
I'm glad I had finished my supper by then, too.
Good for you.
Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Fran.
Well, I don't think it's in human nature. I think that the way societies are set up, when you look at, you know, no culture is perfect, right? Because people... But when you look at, it's the absolute inverse of the concept of Ubuntu, right? I am because we are. And culture, I think, encourages people to need to be above someone else.
Yeah.
Right? I hope I don't get whoopied for that because she said that. Because she said that, it's about... man's inhumanity to man. I mean, in essence, yes, but people make up all these reasons like racial inferiority and stuff, and they kind of went with it. And so it wasn't correct. The concept that these Nazis, you know, contrived was definitely about race. And, yeah. and appointing Jews as an inferior race, and Poles and blacks and everybody else that they, you know, but mostly it was about their chagrin for Jews and putting them in this mental space of racial inferiority. So I just think that people if we're not challenged in our beings to be kind, and if our culture says, you know, God for him, man, every man for himself and God for us all, then there are people who are going to take that and run with it. So
right. Mm.
There's that quote that's like, give a man something to look down upon. The hierarchy kind of presents itself if there's a power vacuum, because that's what we've learned through white supremacy and through the I feel like the culture we're in now, it's very selfish and very individualistic. Like, we're all moving towards that, even more so.
Very much so, yeah.
It's just really sad.
Well, you know, every time people talk about racism and they don't know about Bacon's Rebellion, when the planter elite, you know, basically were exploiting natives on their own land, black indentured servants and white indentured servants. And when there was an uprising, it actually hastened the onset of chattel slavery, because they had to pick who of the peasants was going to be in control. And so they gave that place to the white indentured servants. They made the Africans, who were easily identifiable, right? Very difficult to blend in when you've got that hair and that skin, the actual slaves. And natives were just considered to be savages, and the colonizers were mostly concerned with taking their land. And so that's, capitalism is at the root of the other isms. All isms ultimately serve capitalism, right? The discard of women after a certain age because they can't make drones for the labor colony, racial slavery, needing drones for the labor colony so that we outlawed being gay because we need people to produce. All of those isms serve capitalism.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I've been really reading about, as far as capitalism goes, just how radical rest is now.
Mm-hmm.
Like self-care, taking time for yourself.
Yeah.
Because like, humans were not meant to, you know, in ideally, this is not how we're supposed to function with this hustle culture.
Not at all.
And you know, burnout and just going.
Mm-hmm.
That now, like, rest is seen as this radical thing, when really it's something that's been more a part of us than anything else. Like, we need that. I often think about, like, back in the day when maybe Galileo was staring at the stars. Nothing better to do, right? Like, imagine how long you have to stare at the freaking stars to find a pattern or things like that.
Right?
I'm always, like, floored by that, because I was like, if I had all that time to sit around and do nothing, I'd come up with some kind of theory, too.
But I just want to know, are the incels busy? Because they have a lot of time on their hands to think about what we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
there's so this. Sure
they need something to do.
They've got their little chat rooms going. And, yeah.
So there's these stereotypes on Reddit that comes from that. It's like these programmer types, right?
Yes.
Work with computers.
Yeah.
They're there doing their jobs
in their parents' basements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the stereotype, but I think it's a lot more sinister and widespread.
I believe you. Yeah. I agree. I co-sign. Yes. It's more people. And it's like the thing about, you know, racism. The left says it's all on the right. But when you do closer observation and you just even listen to your friends, you realize that is not the case. So same thing for the incel movement. It's growing.
They've been kind of quiet. Like, there haven't been any mass shootings this week that I'm aware. But otherwise they've been pretty quiet. But, you know, all you have to do to find incels, really, is read the comments on any kind of post. And then it's like, oh, there they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they show themselves. They're proud. They're quite proud.
Yeah. We have Jerry in Clearwater calling in. Jerry, can you hear us?
Yeah. Am I on?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. You know what? I made some bookmarkers for my friends. And the bookmarker says, kindness is the language the deaf can hear and the blind can see.
Mm.
I just wanted to put that in there. You guys talking about kindness.
Thank you for that, Jerry.
That is beautiful.
Okay. Awesome. That is beautiful. Yeah. That's something that should go across the airwaves, especially now. Huh. Thank
All
you
right,
so
bye,
much.
Jerry.
Bye, Jerry.
Bye.
That was so sweet.
That was sweet. That's the kind of thing
kindness
that...
is something that the blind can see and the deaf can hear.
Mm-hmm. It's a universal language that doesn't require any other tools than to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've forgotten that. So back to the original point, though. Like, if that's our culture and you're impolite, then the people in the culture will say, hey, you can't be impolite. And people kind of think this whole thing with, like, calling people Karens is that, but it's not that. Because the tide has turned and people are allowed to be absolutely rude to you when you, at the point of sale, because they know that you're afraid to say, hey, this is inappropriate in reaction and you're not doing your job, and you can't say that anymore because you don't have any license to say you can't treat me like this, I'm just here for an oil change.
That's a really good point. I think that I don't know if it's because we were in lockdowns and we did not have human interaction or what's going on. Like, people don't know how to act anymore. I literally had to ask, like, a grown adult, ask them, like, who raised you? You know, I know you have better manners than this. I know, like,
got to be more careful.
There's
got to
be a grandma or somebody who had something good to say growing up. But it's not the case these days. It's just not. But to your point, Liz, about the Supreme Court, something I found interesting, it's not just the, you know, our, you know, overall Supreme Court, it's every court. That's what the right wing have, when they had right wing strategists identified, this is where we're going to take the power, right? Putting people in these key positions in the justice system.
Uh-huh.
And lately I've been hearing about, and I think Trump said this in one of his speeches, but I was hearing about how they're now looking at the supervisor of elections office. Right.
Like, I used to see my face.
I'm more because it's an elected position. Like, people need to really wake up, because when I heard that, I'm like, wow, first of all, and the reason he gave behind that was, like, you know, they're the ones that oversee counting the votes. And I was just like, oh no, like,
yeah.
I'm afraid this election is going to be a fiasco of epic, historic proportion.
Same.
Totally, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and they've also gotten the impetus to start packing, like, school board local elections with the true believers. So, I mean, it's going to be a free-for-all here.
Liz, as a lawyer, you know, what do you think? Like, walk us through what you think the worst-case scenario will be for the election.
Well, I think already that if there's gonna be a flip. I think the Republicans are going to dominate in the midterm, because Democrats, for the most part, especially the centrist Democrats, they just, you know, they're happy as little clams that, you know, Trump is out of office, and they don't think, you know, oh hey, we got to keep the momentum going. Even in our own group.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly Feminist for the Revolution. We had a, you know, we were always talking about politics in the group, and people kept insisting, you know, oh, we need to get Trump out. And there were those of us who were saying, but that's not going to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so they just kind of disappeared after, you know, they got Trump out. They didn't want to stick around for strategizing about what do we do next.
Right.
We have Clay from Lando Lakes calling.
Who's a regular. Hey, Clay.
Good morning.
Good morning, ladies. You know, I wasn't going to call in. I was just enjoying your banter in the conversation. Things I had to say something about. And while I was on hold right now, you guys brought up about it. I'll tell you, my position on the Democrats, and I've been a Democrat my entire life, and I always tell people I didn't leave the party left me. Is that they fail to talk about the things that are most important to people, and they fail to keep their word. William DeJoy is still running the Postal Service into the ground. Okay? Joe Biden has not wiped out student debt, which you can do with the signature. I mean, all these things, there's all these things that they were promising and talking about during the election they haven't done. And then when it comes time to for re-election, they're not taking the issues on that are important to the people, like housing, like poverty.
Oh, housing. Like, say it again, Clay.
you know, what's that?
I said, say it again, housing. That's our next big crisis, right?
Well, that's because what we have allowed is we allowed housing to become a commodity. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are people. I got a new development that started down the road here, 74 single-family detached homes, that they aren't selling the home. The sign out front says for rent. They're building brand new homes, but for only one purpose, to rent them. That's because there's a lot more money in renting them. And it's a lot easier to get rid of the people when they don't, you know, can't make their mortgage payment or can't make the payment. You just kick them out and rent it to somebody else. So, but that's not the real reason I called is, I'm a science-based guy. I love science. And I pay attention to it all the time. And we had this wonderful thing called the Human Genome Project.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Worldwide. And one thing that determined was that there's only one race, the human race.
Right.
Okay? We all came from the same place in Africa,
mm-hmm.
and we moved different things, and we adapted to our new environment. And that's how we end up being white and blue-eyed and, you know, and yellow and slanty-eyed and all that kind of stuff. But there's only one race. And what we're talking about is ethnicity and culture that are the differences between people, not a different race. And I don't know how we're going to fix all that because we've used race for so long and tried to make things about race when now we know there is no race. So Whoopi Goldberg, I don't think, was wrong. I think she was right in what she said, given that context, that there is no race.
I think right, but I think what people fail to understand is that race means different things. Like it's different things to different people. For example, Bosnians went through a genocide, and I've been often called a woman of color, and I reject that label because, like, I don't think I should, you know, be taking on that label. It's weird to me. I don't want to take away from people who actually live with a, you know, with their skin being a different color. That's the first thing you see. I think that's a very different thing that happens in reality, the type of reactions. Like, no one would ever look at me and be like, you can't come in because, you know, you're a different race.
Yeah, and that's something that has to stop, is we have to stop looking at each other for our physical features as something that determines that makes us different from each other. Because in the very first place, no matter how you want to look at it, from the fact that we're all human beings and we're all made of the same thing, there's just the fact that, you know, it's like, I hate to compare us to dogs, but animals, that the animals are out there, there's all different colors and all dogs and all that kind of stuff. But they're still all dogs. They're all that. And we are all human beings. And we belong to the human race. And there aren't other races. And we have to figure out some way to start changing the dialogue that we keep having about an issue of race when it's not race at all. But at the
I want to jump in here and say thank you for calling in, Clay. Thank you for calling in and saying that. And I get it. I studied anthropology, very clear that there is only one race and that there's variation. And we're not dogs. Humans have far more variation, phenotypical variation than dogs do, right? You know, you see one purebred dog, you've basically seen them all. And that's not true for humans. And we don't breed that the way that animals do, right? Like it's a different type of connection that people have. Now, having said that, I would like more than probably anyone in this building, as a consequence of my racial consciousness and my education, to be rid of the notion that I am different because I don't look like the person across from me. Unfortunately, we have, like I said, all the isms. I think I clarified that even more so than what your statement was, that we are not, how do I say this? That all of the isms serve capitalism. And the reason why we're so entrenched in racism, all of that, renting homes as a commodity, human necessity as a commodity, healthcare as a commodity, all of those things serve capitalism so that people can have more. It has nothing to do with what we actually are as humans.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to clarify that, right?
I will say, though, we're at a weird time. I don't know if weird is the right word to use.
I like it.
But, you know, with the attacks on the synagogues lately and a number.
Orlando.
Aggressions, yeah.
People on overpass with swastikas.
Right.
That's really happening.
In Orlando, yeah.
There needs to be a space for some of these conversations where, you know, we don't know exactly how to express what we're trying to say, perhaps.
Right.
But never to diminish just how awful this wave of anti-Semitism and the racism that's coming out. And it, they've just been emboldened. It's, I mean, one of those people was an FSU student. It's scary. I think everyone should have the freedom to worship in peace and you know, however they identify to, you know, just live their life in peace. And unfortunately, yeah, it's, there are people out there who think like that is somehow an attack on their own, whatever's going on in their life, like their own dignity or their own identity. And it's not. So there's so much going on, but even with what happened with Whoopi, I think that there were points that she made with people. There are a lot of people that don't understand that, like, race means a number of things.
Yes.
And
it's come through.
Yeah, and Hitler and what the Nazis did in Germany, they identified a separate race so they can go ahead and, you know, claim a pure race. So there was intent behind that that was very, it wasn't just about religion, it was more than that. But I think there needs to be a space to talk about these things where we're not jumping to cancel people, where we're not being offensive, where we're not saying things without having perhaps like consulted folks about them, especially those affected communities. I don't know. That's how I would approach this topic, because clearly there are some very serious repercussions right now. And I think we all really need to be careful about that.
That's a good point. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. Who's calling us?
Well, let's see. Hi, good morning. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, can I come on the air and make a statement, please?
Sure, certainly. You're on the air. Let's do it.
Oh, okay, okay. Thanks for having me.
You got about 1 minute.
Yes, okay. The guy that said, or the lady, I believe that said she's an anthropologist or maybe graduated with that degree. I, on the other hand, think that there's that we don't just come from one race. I think, like, the animals that God put, like, animals in certain spots. Like, for instance, he put gorillas in the Congos. And I thought, I think if you take the gorillas out of the Congos and put them in, like, maybe Alaska, they won't survive. Just like if you take the polar bears out of Alaska and put them in Africa, in the Congos, they won't survive. You got animals and insects that are put in certain places, that if you take them out of that place, they won't survive.
Okay, wait,
I
understand.
I do believe that God put human beings in certain places. The Indians or the Germans or...
All right, well,
I'm going to have to thank you for your time today.
That was a hot take.
That was a hot take.
Yeah.
I think that we're a little more advanced than animals, but I don't know.
Yeah, you can take people out of New York and put them in Florida and they'll survive. It'll be hard, but they'll make it.
I heard someone say it's cold as bricks the other day. I was like, what is that? Like, it's a New York thing.
That was fun, though. I mean, I get it. I mean, I get that the creationists, you know, have something to say. But I would hope that we're beyond thinking that we're a 6,000-year-old planet.
Well, there's a certain segment of people who don't believe in evolution and... do believe in creationism, so
yeah.
Well, we did get an email from Rob saying there is a Robin Thanatasasa. I never can say that right.
There's Thanatasasa.
Yes, there's far more variation in dogs than humans. Is that true?
Far more variation in dogs than humans.
That was something Clay said.
No, somebody sent that in.
Mm-hmm.
No, I learned that there's more variation inside of a mating population than there is outside of it, and more variation amongst humans than there are among certain species of animals.
Ah, okay.
Well, on that note, just love each other, and any final thoughts, Donna?
I'm just flabbergasted. I hope we get better. Hope we heal. I hope we can heal. That's all I got.
Liz, anything from you?
Kindness. Practice kindness, people. Mm. It's almost like end time.
It's rough out here.
Biblical and everything, but I mean, we need to develop compassion and patience and empathy for each other.
Absolutely. All right, y'all. See you next week, Thursday, 10 a.m.
Don't forget those balconies now.
Absolutely.
Thank you.